When I think about a dream client, I imagine someone who is perfectly in alignment with the mission of your business and with the result that you can offer. And then you get to decide, does that mean I want to work with someone that I want to have coffee with? Or does that mean I care mostly about the end result that we're creating together? Is my dream client someone that I just know fits perfectly into the service that I offer? Is my dream client someone that's willing to pay premium price for what I do? And it might be a combination of those things. But really, an ideal client is someone that kind of fits perfectly into that person I want to serve in my business. Welcome to Making Website Magic, where we empower women to step boldly into their web design businesses, follow their intuition, and claim the success they're worthy of. I'm Sam Munoz.
And I'm Karen Page. We're the tech wizards behind Sam Munoz Consulting and the Making Website Magic School of Business. We're two women here to talk about what it actually takes to run a web design business that's aligned with your vision.
Spoiler alert, it probably isn't what you think it is. Ready to hear about everything from refining your business vision, networking with intention, and creating a magical client experience?
Let's do it.
Well, hello, Karen. I cannot wait to get into this episode today. Our energy is high and I am stoked about what we're talking about. How are you doing today?
Sam, I'm on my second cup of coffee, which is twice as much as I usually drink. So I think we're good. Let's get into it. What are we here to talk about today?
We're talking energy levels. Yes. I'm also on my second cup of coffee, one and a half. I've got this whole reel on Instagram about drinking a second cup of coffee and how I'm always like, no, I won't drink it. And then I do anyway. And I'm always like, you thought you weren't going to drink a second cup of coffee. You silly girl.
I mean, if that's your thing, like, get into it. Lean into it.
One might say it's my dream, which is a great segue into today's topic. Working with dream clients, WTF does that even mean?
Yeah, what TF does that even mean?
Right. So we hear all the time, find your ideal client, work with your dream clients in your business, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we use that language too. We use that language of dream client. We like the word dream because it kind of reminds us of magic and visioning and all of those things. But we're talking about the same thing. Ideal client, dream client, you know, client avatar, et cetera, et cetera. So let's talk about why we're even talking about this topic before we get into it. Why are we talking about dream clients and, you know, why is that important?
Because when you work with your dream client, you have more fun in your business. No, I don't know. Why is it important, Sam?
Well, it really comes down to why did you create the business in the first place, right?
Yeah.
You created this business because you want to have, we've all created a business for different reasons, and maybe it's multiple of these, but you maybe created a business because you wanted more freedom. You wanted more fulfillment in your work. You wanted to work with people and, you know, perpetuate things that you really believed in. You wanted to have impact. You wanted to have, you know, no ceiling above you in terms of your financial opportunities. And so dream clients help us access those parts of our business that we dreamt about, that we, you know, envisioned when we started this in the first place. And in episode 3, I know we have it on our schedule to go even deeper into dreaming and into creating space to vision out your life and your business. So we will let you guys go listen to that episode, which is already available when you hear this, by the way. Mm-hmm. So you can start to think about how to dream. But before we get into that part of everything, we really wanted to start at this baseline level of dream clients and working with people and on projects that you care about and that are important to you. Again, the phrase dream clients, aligned clients, client avatar, those phrases are thrown around so much in our industry and in the online space. So we wanted to break it down and talk a little bit about what does that even mean to have a dream client and just go a little bit deeper into that, because that's what we're all about on this podcast, is going deeper.
Yeah. Like, to your point about like the phrase dream client gets thrown around a lot, I think it also can become really broad and really overgeneralized to where you don't know what that means. You just are like, I need to have dream clients, because everybody's saying that's how you run your business is with dream clients, right? But like, let's step back and be like, what is a dream client? So really it's like, what is a dream client? But then what is a dream client for you specifically?
Right, right. Yes, because in the last episode, we touched on this a lot about this idea of being force-fed what we think we need in our business, what we think we should be doing in our business, what our business should look like, what business model we should follow, all of those things. And if we start taking on other people's idea of a dream client, then we're doing that same thing. We're building a business that's not truly ours or in alignment with us and what we want to be doing in our life and in our work. So like Karen said, you get to decide what a dream client means to you. And we have some examples, some from our own experiences and what we believe, you know, our ideal client is, and then some from conversations we've had with other people. But really, I'm going to try to define it. And then I want you to jump in, Karen, if I'm missing anything. But like, when I think about a dream client, I imagine someone who is perfectly in alignment with the mission of your business and with the result that you can offer. And then you get to decide, does that mean I want to work with someone that I want to have coffee with? Or does that mean I care mostly about the end result that we're creating together? Is my dream client someone that I just know fits perfectly into the service that I offer? Is my dream client someone that's willing to pay premium price for what I do? And it might be a combination of those things. But really, an ideal client is someone that kind of fits perfectly into that person I want to serve in my business.
Yes. Yes. Like, that sums it up. I'm trying to think, like, is there anything to like add into that? Because I feel like it's definitely a combination of those things, but ultimately it's like you get to decide what pieces are in that combo, you know?
Right. And kind of going back to what we were saying before, if you start assuming other people's dream clients, then you're going to start serving people that aren't fully in alignment with who and what you want to be doing. And so you might like book all these like high ticket projects and, you know, this is a $20,000 project and that's great, but like you don't care about what you're doing. So you're not going to perform as well. You're not going to be as invested in the project. You're going to be so drained after working with them because you did it for the money or for the accolades or for all these other things. And so really understanding who you want to work with so that you can make sure that you're not getting so depleted after the project is also like another component of this here and why you can't just assume someone else's dream client.
Okay. So as you were saying that, I was like rubbing my furrowed brow again, because that does not sound like a dream client to me. A $20,000 client doesn't sound like a dream client if when I'm working in that project with them, I feel super gross. I resent that I have to show up and work on this project because I'm not in alignment with like what they're doing. I don't feel lit up inside because I'm actually helping them carry out their mission, but I don't like agree with what their mission is. So it's very like kind of like business for hire type of thing. And for me, like one of the things that I realized with dream clients is I really have to like feel aligned and invested and really interested in what they're doing. Because if I'm going to be helping them create a universe in their website, like helping them connect and communicate and lead them into conversions and basically fulfill their dream, I want to feel like I'm aligned with that, because I'm getting like all tingly just thinking about it, because I've had those kind of clients where you're like, I show up, I open up my computer to start developing, and it's like there's a pit in my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, when you have to keep reminding yourself, okay, well, you're just doing this project because that money's coming in. You're going to get that invoice. Just make it to the finish line. Like, get the money. Like, that is not aligned at all with like my dreams or how I want to earn my money and things like that. So you can dangle that $20,000 carrot in front of me, but I'm not biting because it don't taste good.
Oh my gosh, what a good point. Totally, Karen. And that's a perfect example of like you understanding who you want to work with, why you want to work with them, and what that means. I have a very similar ideal client. Like, I want to feel like I'm in partnership with them in their mission. I want to feel respected in my expertise and also know that I can contribute more than just the website development process, right? I want to know that my contribution extends beyond just the implementation, but also into more of like the strategy and the design choices and the user experience and things like that. I have had projects that are worth tons of money that I have been like, nope, don't want to do this again, because I'm personally not like a very money motivated person. So no amount of dollar bills in my bank account is going to make me feel better about perpetuating a mission I don't care about. So I'm 100% on board with you there. And that's kind of very similar to my dream client. Now, the thing is, we might differ in like the specifics, right? And we're not talking about like demographics, right? This is not like where your person shops and what color their hair is and, you know, where they went to school and if they have children. This is what are they doing in their business? And that's the kinds of things that we're talking about. Now, I want to give like a different example because not everyone might resonate with this idea of like that type of dream client, right? Like my dream client, I would love to like meet them in person and spend time with them and have a coffee with them and chat with them because I want to hear more about the person side of them. However, I was having a conversation with someone on Instagram about this topic of dream clients, and she mentioned that dream clients, you know, she doesn't really like that idea. And I challenged her because she said she likes to work with clients who she can get results for. And I'm like, well, what if we took that and made that your dream client, right? Because that is an example of someone who you can do the result for. That's what I was saying in the beginning about like, you can give them the result that they're looking for. You can create their website for them. And that's an idea of a good dream client for you. It's someone who has their stuff together, that has all of their content ready, that has their branding stuff ready. They're very clear on their mission. And even if you don't co-author that mission with them, your dream client is someone that is just ready to work with you and needs your service. That can be a dream client.
Yep. So it's really like understanding the variety that's possible in the dream. Like a dream for us is maybe more like mission driven, whereas a dream for somebody else may be more like results driven, or like maybe a dream client is somebody who's kind of like defers to you and is like, hey, just tell me what to do. I'll do it. Here's the deliverables. Go forth and conquer. I totally believe in you. Like, I don't even want to check in with you. Just make it so, number one.
Yes.
Make it so. You know?
Yes.
Whereas somebody else, their dream client is like, no, let's do check-in calls and let's see how we're doing. And I want to do all kinds of like avant-garde, like mind mapping stuff so that we can uncover this design of your website. Like someone who's like, yeah, let's feel this whole creative collaborative fantasy, right? But again, it's like,
who do you want to work with?
Who do you want to work with? But just like that general idea of like, figure out your dream client and whether they shop at Target or Walmart, or whether they watch The Bachelor or Real Housewives, or, you know, whether they're 38 years old with brown hair or like married with kids in Chicago or something like that. Like that's really kind of surface level.
Mm-hmm. And how are you going to find that person? Like how are you going to like find that brown haired Target shopping person and connect with them? Like it's not deep enough to like create things that like attract them to you, right?
Right, right.
So I know that one aspect of this topic that we wanted to get into was, okay, so what a dream client is, what that means to you, why it's important, why we're even talking about it. But we did want to talk about this reality that you might be working with people that aren't necessarily your dream clients right now. And whether you know who those dream clients are yet or not is fine, but you might be taking on projects as they come to you. And it's not necessarily a bad thing to work with clients who are not your dream client. And we had some things that we wanted to talk about with regards to this, because honestly, like, you learn who your dream client is the more people you work with. There is, I would say it is almost impossible to know who you want to work with until you've worked with people who are not the right fit. And I can give plenty of examples of that where I've worked with someone and, you know, I've said yes to their project and we did the project and I evaluated afterwards and I'm like, ooh, something about that didn't feel quite right. Or maybe it was just a little off during the whole project or whatever the case may be. It was after those experiences that I was like, you know what? This is not the type of person I want to work with. I'm glad that I did, but this is not necessarily like the direction I want to keep going. So next time someone comes in with an inquiry that's similar to this person, or I can get that same vibe, I know I'm probably going to say no and redirect them somewhere else.
Yeah. And I want to preface that too by just saying, like, in no way are we trying to say work with people who treat you like crap, work with people who underpay you, work with people who like boss you around and they expect everything for you to do to be at their beck and call or whatever. Like, no. Like, we want you to have standards. We want you to be treated with respect at all times. But like, yeah, sometimes the projects that you take on maybe aren't like your gold star projects, but they're still incredibly valid and valuable on your journey to like really uncover what your dream client and what your dream project could look like.
That's such a good point, Karen, because you're talking about projects that aren't quite in alignment, right? They're not awful.
No.
there's a difference between like a non, there's like three levels, right? There's like, you know, ideal or dream client. There's like not quite ideal client. And then there's like absolute horrible client to work with. We are not advocating for working with those types of people because you are your own boss here. We empower you to say no to those opportunities, to exit situations that are unhealthy. And we should probably create an episode all about that, about, you know, recognizing those boundary crossing clients. And we can. So if that's something that's interesting to you guys, make sure you send us a DM and let us know. Oh my gosh, I need that. Because I've definitely talked about that in a Morning Tech with Sam show way back in the day, because sometimes like it's just not the right fit. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about those not quite dream clients, but ones that, you know, you can still serve and still get a lot of value out of working with them.
Yeah, like those kind of projects where maybe you're getting paid to practice a skill that you didn't already have, but
love that.
You know, it's like somebody is like, hey, I want to work with you. I need this thing. And you're like, yeah, okay, let's take on this project. I know how to build a website. And now you're just asking me to do something that maybe I haven't done before, but I'm going to get paid to do it. So there's value in being in that experience, right?
Or you have the capacity to say yes.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like you have extra capacity. That's okay too. It's okay to say yes if, you know, you have the base for a type of project that you know is not quite in alignment, or if you're serving someone that you know could really benefit from your result. That's, we didn't even talk about this before, Karen, but like if you're serving someone who needs what you offer, even though they're not quite the right fit. I can think of several clients who I was like, I know they need a good website. I'm not against their mission, but it's not something that I am, again, a co-author of, let's say, but they are so passionate about what they do. Mm-hmm. And I want to help them get that out into the world. That's okay too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like it's very kind of like, don't miss the forest for the trees kind of analogy. I love that because to me, that's really more in service of like, I just want to help you. I want to help you get your thing out there. And I know that I can help you. And even maybe if like, it's again, like not what I thought I had set out to do or who I thought I had set out to attract, like you're there and I can help you. Let's do this.
Yes. And honestly, like who knows? Working on that kind of project in terms of like being able to figure out what you like to do and what you don't like to do and who you like to work with and who you don't like to work with. Like, could you imagine like saying yes to a project like that and then realizing halfway through, oh my gosh, I never thought I wanted to make an e-commerce store before. But look at what this project has produced and how good I feel when I'm doing this. So being open to those opportunities is a gift. It is a true gift.
Can I just say, like, it really is like being open to those opportunities, having the experience, and also through that experience, like kind of stepping back after the project is done and reflecting and be like, okay, what worked? What didn't work? What did I like doing there? What didn't I like doing there? Is this something that I'm going to want to do again later? And if it's in a capacity where like on this project, you learn something new, maybe that ties into like something you can begin to explore as a future offering or service. And if it's something you didn't like to do, then you can move forward and be like, I'm never going to offer that again. And that's okay.
Right.
Because that's actually going to help you, I think, get closer to what your ideal client is when you are aware and you can discern those things that you like, the type of work that you like to do and the type that you don't like to do, which I think is also equally as important as the type of client that you have. It's the type of work or service that you offer, the type of result that you're giving them, right? Because your ideal client could be like somebody that you want to have a coffee chat with and you want to help them uncover what they do and help them drive their mission forward. But they're like, well, that means build me an e-commerce website. And it's like, but right. I don't want to build an e-commerce website. I love you so much. I want to invite you to my birthday party, but I don't want to do that. That's okay too.
Yeah, we're such big advocates of self-evaluation and thinking through things after you do those types of projects, or even like refining, you know, I mean, Karen and I are constantly refining the business. We're like, do we like working with this type of person? Do we want to still offer these services? Like almost after every single project we do, there's an opportunity for us to evaluate. Do we still want to offer this type of service to this type of person for this price point? Like taking that time to take a step back instead of just rolling into the next one is such a good, you know, like it creates a good breathing space. And it's actually something that we're doing in the first pillar of the Making Website Magic School of Business program, which is our 6-month program where we're taking people through a lot of the things that we talk about in the podcast, And the first pillar is all about inner work. And it is about thinking about your business, thinking about your business vision, and specifically thinking through your dream clients, the types of people you want to work with, the types of projects you've enjoyed, the type of work you want to be doing, and all of that stuff. So I think that that's so important to make the space to evaluate those things so that you can move forward and say with discernment, this project is a good one. This one is not a good one. I can say yes. I can feel empowered to say no, etc.
I love that. Yeah. Having that opportunity to really check in with yourself is so important. And I think that's something that a lot of web designers really overlook when they get started with their business. Or maybe you find out that like 2 years into your business, you've been working on all these projects and all these clients, and that's when you're like, I need to really like step back and refine, because if I'm going to move forward and really like build a business with longevity, I want to be doing things a little bit differently. And so like giving yourself the space wherever you are kind of in that phase of your business to do that inner work, to vision out what your business is like so valuable. And it will be so helpful moving forward. Like you can't, I know I didn't do it when I started my business. I was just like, I can build websites. Let's go, you know? But I know that if I had taken time to really do that inner work, things would have ended up a lot different. Things would look a lot different. And yeah, I think I would have felt like a lot more empowered and a lot more confident. So I'm really excited to cover that kind of exercises and that kind of thought work in Making Website Magic School of Business, for sure.
I totally agree with you, Karen. And I also think that it comes down to giving yourself permission to change, permission to decide, this works for me, this doesn't work for me. And then a couple of years later, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I want to change and I want to offer this. You guys own your own businesses. You get to make your own choices here. You get to decide what services you offer. This is your chance to embrace all that empowerment and say, I want to work with this type of person. I don't want to work with this type of person. This is the type of thing that my business offers, and this is what I do. So I hope that that is empowering to you to hear that, that you have the permission to do that. And I do want to address something as we kind of start to wrap up this episode. In order to actually get the chance to be discerning about these different types of clients, you do have to have more opportunities coming your way, right? You can't really say no to opportunities and to clients and to people that are not the right fit for you if you don't have enough volume of inquiries. That's just math, right? You really can't say no to this client if that's the only client that's reached out to you in the past 2 months. You kind of have to say yes because you have bills to pay and you have, you know, your business to keep moving. And so the goal then becomes getting enough volume, getting enough opportunities, getting enough discovery calls to be able to say, this person is the right fit. I'm going to say yes, or I'm going to make an empowered no, and I'm going to say no to this client and I'm going to refer them elsewhere. You can't do that unless you have enough opportunities. And that, you know, kind of going back to what we talked about before, that is something that we talk about in the School of Business, is how do you get more opportunities and more discovery calls and more inquiries in your business so that you can decide, I'm going to work with my dream clients. And you don't have to feel that scarcity and that fear of, if I say no to this person, that might be the last person that's going to reach out for the next month.
Yes, Sam, that's huge. And that ties it back into like the self-reflection and self-evaluation thing too. It's like the more you get to talk to people and you get to figure out what a potential client might need or what they're looking for, or the way that you communicate with them on a call being an indicator of what it would be like to work with them in the project. Like you get, again, to like really uncover where your magic is, like what that magic thing is for you. But it's really, really hard to do that if you're only talking to one person a month or one person every quarter. But the more you talk to people, the more opportunities you'll have to make those observations and get really clear, and also just save yourself a lot of like pain and frustration and working on things that you don't want to do because you're afraid that that's the only project that's coming to you this quarter.
Totally. I do think that a lot of this comes down to like tracking things, you know, like after you get off of a call, deciding, you know, did this person say yes, they want a proposal from me? Did they say no? Were they a dream client? You know, if they, it's, I'm like imagining a spreadsheet in my head, right? It's like, if they said no and they were a dream client, what was the determining factor there? What could I improve, or what do I need to change? Or, you know, how can I improve my sales skills, et cetera? Or if they said yes and they weren't a dream client, or if they said no and they weren't a dream client. Like, that sort of information is really important to track, because the yes or no of a discovery call isn't all of the information, right? And kind of going even deeper into that, discovery calls. So when I say discovery calls, I mean like getting on the phone with someone for free and just understanding what they need and if you can serve them. That's what we mean when we talk about discovery calls. It's not really, I mean, it can be a sales call, you know, quote unquote, but I like to think of it more like understanding a person's needs, figuring out if you can even help them, and then offering the opportunity for them to take the next step with you with a proposal. So just throwing that out there, that's what I mean by that. But a discovery call is also an opportunity to get to know your potential dream clients too, because you can figure out, you know, this person actually is a dream client. I know that. And so let me figure out what they need, what kinds of things they want. And even if they don't hire you, you have all that information to go off of so that you know, okay, every person that I talk to that's my dream client, they actually really need an e-commerce site. And I'm so thrilled to work with that kind of person that I want to sharpen up my e-commerce skills. So you can start to make that map, right? Make that connection. So it really comes down to figuring out who you want to work with so that you can decide, okay, now I need to offer this other service, or I need to offer this other package, or I need to make sure my price point is something that they can afford, or they need it in a quicker time frame. That's a ton of examples, but the point is,
there was a lot of examples. No, I love it. I'm like, I want to add some examples. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it just made me think, like, you know, your dream client might also, like, in addition to what they actually want, and you didn't know that, and you learned that because you started talking to a bunch of people that you are really excited to work with in the future, or even we're going to do a podcast on discovery calls at some point. I'm certain about that, right?
Yeah, just a whole podcast on that.
But like, you might learn that in a discovery call that your dream client doesn't want to do like check-in calls on Zoom every week. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So you're like, Oh, I can take that piece out of my client experience then. You know what I mean? So like, you can learn about what working with those people might be like and what they're interested in, what they need. And you can actually like craft this really magical client experience based on just like talking to them and asking them. One, a big takeaway from this episode too, when it comes to understanding what is a dream client, is also like understanding what experience you can offer them, right? And so there's a lot more to it than just like, there's this person who looks like this, who lives in this town somewhere. It's like, oh, my dream client, they want a full, like, white glove DFY, like, experience. And I may never see them or whatever. Or, you know, again, it's like, no, my dream client is somebody who needs to hear from me because they're expecting me to, like, be their consultant and really give them the ideas and point out the things that they hadn't thought of, and et cetera, et cetera. So, but you don't know that until you get to talk to people. And I think I'm really excited to do an episode on discovery calls.
Yeah, me too. I think that's going to probably be one of the first 10 episodes that we have here. Maybe episode 4. Who knows?
Keep listening.
Yeah, keep listening so you guys can hear all about that, and we can break down the discovery calls even more and how to get more out of them. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's kind of wrap this episode up. So some of the things we touched on were, again, why were we even talking about dream clients? Why is it important to know who they are, what they are, to break down that jargon? Also, you get to decide who your dream client is. So just remember that, right? So as you're navigating this online space and you're hearing people talk about that, remember that you, at the end of the day, get to make that decision. And as you're working with different people, you are going to get closer and closer to understanding who that dream client is and who you want to work with and who you want to be serving in your business.
Yep. So the more you talk to people, the closer you're going to get to your dream.
Right. Creating more opportunities for yourself to meet that person. And again, you're 3 degrees away. I really believe you are 3 degrees away from your dream client. So you might not know who they are yet, but they are out there. Believe that. Believe in that abundance. And remember, if you just believed that, how would you operate today? If you believed that you were just a couple of phone calls away from your dream client, how would you show up today in your business?
Oh, yeah. Think about that. Think about that.
And I think that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
That is a wrap for this episode. Yeah, this was so insightful. And I hope you guys found it insightful too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey there, listener. If you enjoyed the conversation Sam and I had today, we invite you to join the Making Website Magic community and continue the conversation with us.
We created this space for web designers and developers who want to dig deeper into their businesses with other like-minded people in a way that's encouraging, safe, and brave. Inside the Making Website Magic community, you'll get access to exclusive content like secret podcast episodes, invitations to live virtual events hosted by Sam and I, and opportunities to ask questions and network with potential project collaborators. And it's free. Are you interested? Head on over to makingwebsitemagic.com/community to get started. See you there.
Thank you so much for listening to the Making Website Magic podcast. If you found this episode helpful, we'd love for you to leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. This helps more women just like you find the show. Want to dig deeper into these conversations with us? Head over to the free Tech with Intention community at makingwebsitemagic.com/community.
Remember, you are more capable than you realize. Until next time, go make some website magic.